Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I love the Word of God. I love to study the Word of God, and it is such a blessing. If I do not find time to spend some time in the Word, something's really missing in my life, because the Holy Spirit, you know, through all of us, speaks to us from His Word. And it's so very important that we spend time there. And I was blessed by spending some time with the Lord in the Word, reading in the book of Revelation, and really being blessed by it. And our ministry, one of our main ministries in Asia during that time, was teaching and training pastors and leadership types. You know, someone in the village that receives the Lord Jesus Christ by whatever means, by another friend, someone telling them, maybe hearing something on the radio or whatever, receives the Lord, and then someone else comes along. Well, that guy that was the first believer is looked up to by the second and the third and the fourth, and he kind of takes the place of a pastor or leader. But they do not have the opportunity of a Bible school. So we did everything we could to be a mobile Bible school for them. And I still continue to write teaching notes and curriculum for them, because on the website now, God has made available to us such that the internet in such a wonderful way that all of these teaching notes can be translated into their language. And no matter whatever village you're in, there's somebody that used to have a telephone booth. Now he has a internet shop, and everybody in the village has a Hotmail address. It's awesome. And not only that, but the mobile phones have also just dramatically changing the world. It's end times, making everything so close so that so many people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive Him and make everything so different, Lord, as He has done in all of our lives. So I was preparing this, really being blessed by the subject. I was reading in Revelation about the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. And was so blessed by that. And when I was asked to give consideration to speaking, I thought, boy, I'd love to just share with everyone. So this is what I believe the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. So let's do that. And I'm one of these people that I have a difficult time learning or remembering what I hear. I have to see it. I have to write it down, something like that. So because I'm that way, and also because I was preparing these notes for the website and for my guys over there that are teaching and training, I have put it on a PowerPoint to make it available for all of you. So if you're like me and need to see it, it's going to be on the overhead. And also that way I get to choose the Bible version. Well, let's read Revelation chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's awesome. Every one of us have been deceived by Satan. Yes? Everyone, you need to recognize that. If we've been trained in the world before we were believers, we've been just like my folks over there that come to Christian. They have more Hinduism up here than they have Christianity. It takes quite a bit of the renewing of the mind. He has deceived all of us, and it's a constant battle for all of us now to remove the lies and put the truth in, and that will only be done as we spend time in His Word. You must find time to be daily in the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me, and He will. He will teach you all things, Jesus said, all things that I've spoken to you, and bring to your remembrance. I love that part of it. I really need help with my remembrance. Deceives the whole world, but he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This war in heaven is also, as you probably know, spoken of in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. Satan lost the battle in heaven, but he won the battle with Adam. And Adam gave his authority and rulership over the earth to Satan. And that's how he has now become the prince of this world. He deceived Adam, as he tries, and it's so easy to deceive all of us if we're not in the Word. He deceived Adam and Eve. So this point, though, here in the Revelation after verse 9, this point, though, something happens that makes a dramatic change. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Hallelujah. The coming of Jesus Christ. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He lost it again. Satan is a loser, believer, beloved. Amen. Believers, beloved. Satan is a loser. And we need to make him a loser every day in my life, not giving him an inch, not giving him any ground, but continuing to walk over him in the power and authority given us, which is what we're going to speak about concerning the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Thrown down. He accuses them, that means us, before our God day and night. He still comes trying to make his case, continually coming before the Lord saying, "Did you see?" Continually accusing us. But let's take these 4 points. Now salvation has come. Jesus won victory over Satan by his death, burial, and resurrection. His death, speaking of his shed blood on the cross. Now salvation has come. A few days before the cross, Jesus said this, John chapter 12, verse 31. Now, all of these nows we're coming to. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. Speaking of his victory that he won through death. Beloved, you and I also win victory over Satan by death to self. Right? We've got to do that. That's why he says it's imperative that we take up our cross. His cross has become our cross. We were crucified with Christ. And it's imperative that we maintain that I am dead. And it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Hebrews 2:14 also speaks of this salvation. Through death, and that's the blood of the Lamb, he, Jesus Christ, rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and he has set us free. He has conquered sin, and he has conquered death, and he's given that victory to us. Hallelujah! Yay! Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Jesus. So great a salvation. How shall we escape, the writer of Hebrews says, if we neglect so great a salvation? We cannot neglect it. It's here. It's all here. We cannot neglect it. We must be in the Word of God, making sure I'm not neglecting any part of what he won for us. You know, you give your child a present, and they open it on Christmas, and they put it down and play with the box. The Lord Jesus Christ has won a great gift given to us. Are we receiving it and putting it into full use? Or are we still playing with the things that don't matter of this world, the paper, boxes, whatever they may be? Okay, number two, the power. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about. What is this power for? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus said, I am with you now till the ends of this ages. For the same thing, same reason. Power to go about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil, for God is with us. The kingdom, number three, the kingdom. The kingdom of God has returned to the earth with its power and authority, as demonstrated by the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, yes? However, Jesus has returned to his throne, and he is no longer on this earth. And he says to each and every one of us, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven, all authority in earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. And he said, go, therefore, go in his authority. He has given his authority over the principalities and powers of darkness to each and every believer. Thank you, Lord. We must learn how to use that authority. It's so very important. Remember what the centurion said to Jesus when he asked him to heal his servant. And the centurion said, Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And the centurion said, Lord, I also, like you, Jesus was under the authority of his Father. He said, Lord, I'm also like you. I'm under authority. In the Roman government, he was under authority. And he would say to this one, go, and he went, and this one, go. To have authority, you must be under authority. And as long as you're walking in the kingdom, obeying the Lord, you have the authority of Jesus Christ to speak it forth, to bring it about, to cause it to happen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't think any of us ever really grasp the power and the authority given to us. I think we should have changed our world long ago. Long ago. And Jesus said, as he met the disciples in the upper room, "As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." How did the Father send him? Anointed with authority and with power, with the kingdom, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, open blind eyes. And he said, "As the Father sent me with the same anointing, same power, same authority, I'm sending you." And the same mission. And we say, "Who, me? Who am I?" That's what Moses said. That's what Jeremiah said. That's what we all say. Who am I? But beloved, God is looking to you. And as someone well said about the Lord wants to speak to Moses, any old bush will do for God to show his glory in. I mean, you don't have to be anything great. You don't have to be anything outstanding. You just have to be available, and God will use you, show his manifest his glory through you. Yes, you. Who, me? Hebrews 2, verse 6. The writer of Hebrews, quoting out of the Psalm 8, I believe, is asking the question, what is man? And I say that. What am I? Who am I? You have crowned him with glory and honor and appointed him over the works of your hands. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. It's our responsibility. What happens here is under our feet, is under our responsibility. He crowned you with glory and honor and appointed you over the works of his hands and have put all things in subjection under his feet, under man's feet. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. In other words, the battle still rages. However, beloved, that day of total victory is coming. Amen. Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. He's going to lose again. The loser is going to lose again, and because we take the authority and the power, yes, Lord, hallelujah, it's going to be so good. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for that coming victory. In fact, we should be walking in it now, crushing him under our feet. He's worthless? Yes, he's worthless. He's powerless. Don't give him any quarter. Don't give him any attention. I wouldn't even mention his name. When I write these notes, I don't even cap my spell checker always wants to capitalize Satan. I say, lowercase. I'm not giving him any authority, any place, any honor whatsoever. Yes, you, beloved, you have his authority and the power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when? After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses with power and authority and boldness to heal the sick, to change your world for Jesus Christ, to live in victory for yourself. Philippians 4:13, we all love it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it say strengthen or empowers? Okay, it's the word dunamis. It is the word power. My Bible said strengthens me. I looked it up. It's dunamis, so I changed it. I can do all things through him who gives me power, the same power that Jesus had, empowers us. And we need that attitude. I can do. Oh, my goodness, I am going way too slow. What about the kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now within you. Luke 17:21. The kingdom is in you. The power, the authority. The king is within you. The king of kings, Jesus Christ, is in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Verses that declare that. I'll read Colossians 1:26-28. The mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations but now been manifested to you, his saints, to whom God willed. It's his will of God to make known through you what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Everything's so different, Lord. Everything's so different. You've changed our lives. Hallelujah. His apostles demonstrate how we should live and also our mission. Luke 9, 1 through 2, he called his 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. The battle has been won. The king is back on the earth, walking, present, demonstrating to perform healing. Luke 10. Now, after the Lord appointed 70, then he sent 12 out. He wants us to get the message. Now he sends 70 out. Sent them out, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He's a loser, beloved. He's a loser. Bring him down. Bring him down. When Satan rises up, we're to bring him down with the power and authority given us. Behold, I have given you, verse 10, 19 of Luke 10, I have given you authority to tread on the serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Your power is greater than his, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I quote that verse so much. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. On the mission field, I was continually quoting it. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Whatever food I ate, nothing shall by any means hurt me. All food sanctified by the word of God in prayer. I'm so grateful for that. And well, I've told you that before, and I'm wasting time. I need to go. The accuser is dethroned, cast down. He's been defeated here on earth also. But the battle still rages. However, we should walk and live in the confidence, the peace, the power, and the authority of the victory that is finished, that is final, that is determined, that has been won. Hallelujah. But in spite of this, he, the accuser of the brethren, continues to accuse us. Why? Because he hates you. Because of who you are. And because of who is in you. Jesus Christ being in you. And because you're an ambassador, a representative for Jesus Christ on this earth with diplomatic immunity. And he cannot touch you without permission from Jesus Christ. So, he accuses us. Are his accusations just? Do we sin? Yes. 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 Any man says he does, John said in his gospel, 1 John letter, if any man says he does not sin, he's a liar. Boy, I know how sinful I am. I'm sometimes shocked by what my mind brings up and runs through the computer. Put it down. Our minds so desperately need to be renewed. He accuses us of each and every sin with delight that now he may be able to attack and again imprison us. Because sin gives him a legal right, and sin is his territory, his kingdom. So, what can we do? How can we walk in victory continually? We'll continue with our verse from Revelation chapter 12. The next verse says, Revelation 12, 11, they overcame him. Hallelujah. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. The victory starts with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The victory begins with the blood of the Lamb and what the blood of the Lamb did for us. So if that's the way we overcome him, the first, primary, the greatest weapon in our life is the blood of the Lamb. We must thoroughly understand what the blood of the Lamb has done for us. Already done for us, that we can walk in that victory of what it has done for us. Number two, because of the word of our testimony. Now, it says word, but also, beloved, our testimony, as we will even see more clearly later, our testimony is not only what we say, but what we do. Matter of fact, the way you live your life is a greater testimony than what you say. Yes? I can't remember the exact saying, but it goes something like this. I can't understand or hear what you're saying because your actions speak so loud, something like that. And it's so true. So true. Number three, they did not love their own life even unto death. Who do I love? Me, self, or Jesus? He laid down his life for me, for us. And he asks us to do the same thing. Lay down our life, give our life to him, and let him now live his life in and through us. Verse 12, for this reason, Revelation 12:12, for this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. One of the questions I want to ask the Lord when we get there, but perhaps we'll have all understanding immediately and won't need to ask, but why did he send Satan when he rebelled in heaven to the earth? Why not Mars? Oh, my goodness. I don't understand that. I really don't. The evil one is giving it all that he has in his intensity. His intensity increases as time ticks away, and it's almost expired. And he's becoming, with more and more fear of knowing what's coming, trying to do all that he can to destroy lives, and first and foremost, the lives of the believers, born-again Christians in Jesus Christ. So, be careful. 1 Peter 5:8, be careful. Your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He cannot touch you until you step over into the kingdom of darkness. And he's doing everything he can, the deceiver of the brethren, to get you over there, to get sin in your life that gives him a legal right that he can attack you. And beloved, anytime sin, thoughts, immediately, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Immediately confess sin. Make it a breathing habit. Sin, breathe out. Confession, breathe in forgiveness. Keep walking in the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We overcome Satan when we know, believe, and testify to who Jesus Christ is and what his blood has accomplished for us in his death on the cross and his resurrection. What you know, if you do not know what his blood has done for us, we're handicapped. We have to know. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people go into exile, led away captives, because of lack of knowledge. Beloved, you've got to be in the Word. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. John 8:32, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will... Hallelujah. The truth replaced by replacing the deceptive lies of Satan. Daniel 11:32. My people who know their God, will display strength and take action, testifying by the way they live their life. So, what has the blood of Jesus done for us? What is our testimony? Number one, let's go fast. His blood has justified us. Romans 5:8-9. God demonstrated his love. I like in my quiet time every day to meditate on that. Try to understand the love that he has expressed to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would he do that? You must be very valuable to him. You must be extremely special to Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. But not only that, verse 9, there is much more. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. To justify means to make righteous, to release, to set free, to clear from sin and be declared not guilty, acquitted. The judge of all judge has said concerning you, not guilty, because he sees the blood of Jesus Christ over you. When you believed and received Jesus Christ, his blood covered you. And now he sees no sin in you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And beloved, we should live the way that we are, righteous. I heard a conversation the other, Oh, golly. Heard a conversation the other day, if I can tell this real quick. It really blessed me. Two guys were standing there in front of me talking, and one is, I can't tell that. You're going to know who I'm talking about. And I haven't got their permission. I don't think I never mind, let's go. Quickly, let's understand the history of justification, justified by his blood. See, we had nothing to do with that. The blood of Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we receive the blood. The blood is applied to us. He did that. The blood is by the Lord, from the Lord, for the Lord, forgiving us. But we must understand that so that our accuser is not able to accuse us and bring us under guilt and shame of sin, that we're able to confess it and know that I am justified. The righteousness of God has been given to me. To be able to have that sort of confidence in who I am. Otherwise, he can, with shame and guilt, he can destroy us and press us down. You must believe in justification, being justified by his blood, that's the way God sees you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You must believe it. You must know it. You must understand it and receive it. So for understanding of it, a little better understanding the history of it, Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men. Because all sin. When Adam sinned, we're all born out of Adam. We are all born sinners, just like him. Romans 5:17-18. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all of us, even so, through the act of righteousness of the one man, Jesus Christ, there resulted justification of life to you, each and every one. Now, wait a minute, I didn't read that right. The very last of it. There resulted justification of life to all men. All men. All men, not only believers. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He justified, his blood justifies all men. It was shed to forgive all man's sin. So, look back up in Romans 5:17. Much more, those who receive this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through one. In other words, the gift must be received. Before you can receive it, before you can have faith in it, you must know it. You must know what his blood has done for it. And when you know it, then you can believe it. Put your confidence and hope knowing what Jesus has done for us. Then, for those who receive. So, forgiveness of sin is for all people. But it doesn't become yours until you receive the gift. If you neglect it, say, no, I don't think so, I don't believe that, and go on, then you have rejected the Lord and entered into the sin unto death, which is unbelief. Through the first Adam, sin passed to all men. Through the last Adam, death was paid in full. And the gift of righteousness is offered to all, but given to those who receive the abundance of grace, and they are totally and completely justified and reign in life. Reign, how are you doing in your reigning?
Who said that? Yeah, I did throw that. Same. Not too good.
Beloved, you can. You've got all that it takes. You've been equipped because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The great exchange, Jesus, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, took our sin with his penalty and judgment and paid the full price for our justification and redemption with his blood. The Father, being satisfied with the blood of his Son for the sin of the world, opened wide the gates of heaven. Those gates of heaven, Psalm 24:7-10, those gates of heaven were closed. I believe they were closed from the time Adam sinned. They were closed, sealed. No way for man to go to heaven. But after the Son of God, Jesus Christ, satisfied the Father for the sin of the world, the gates of heaven are now open. They're open to all, for anyone, whoever will believe and receive the gift of righteousness from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, shall we sing and dance? Woo! It's party time. It's celebrating time. I wanted to go through Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting door, the gates of heaven, and the King of glory may come in. The angel at the gates cries back, who is the King of glory? The angels ascending, Ephesians 4, 8 says that those, Jesus Christ after the resurrection first descended, then he ascended, leading captive, a host of captive, all the Old Testament believers. And the angels shouted out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, open the gates of heaven, and be lifted up. And the angel guarding, this is the way I see it, the angel guarding the gates of heaven cried back, who is this King of glory? Who are you talking about? And they answered, the Lord God Almighty, he is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He won the victory. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The gates of heaven are open. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. So, I love the testimony. My testimony and yours also is as the hymn writer said in that great hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? Let's say it together. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you, Lord God. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his blood has taken care of the sin problem for the whole world. But for those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they'll reign in life, rule, stand victorious in life through Jesus Christ. So my testimony, let's read this together. I think it's up there, isn't it? The blood of Jesus, is it up there? The blood of Jesus has justified me. I am free, just as if I had never sinned. I am acquitted from the wages of sin, and I have been given his righteousness. I am righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ and have been given eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Number two, his blood has redeemed us. What does redeem mean? Redeem, rebuild, rehab, rehabilitation, rehab, all of these re's. It means to buy back what was originally yours. Yes? Man belonged to God. God's creation. Satan stole man from God. Jesus Christ came and by his shed blood paid the price to again purchase you and I back to himself. I'll explain that. Jesus walked into the darkness of Satan's domain, paid the price for our freedom and the price for our redemption. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold. Why not? All the silver and gold in the world and throughout all the universe belongs to Jesus. Why not? Why didn't he redeem us with silver and gold? Beloved, it costs more. You are more valuable than all the silver and gold in the world. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life. That describes my life before Christ. How about you? Redeemed from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. We need our mind changed. But you were redeemed with precious blood. We don't really know the meaning of what that word precious there means. We really cannot comprehend with how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is. But you were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, no sin. He was spotless, unblemished, perfect, sinless, Lamb of God gave his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, to redeem you. As in all things, value is determined by the price paid to purchase. Your value, the value of all things, is determined by the price you are willing to purchase for that. If you think it's valuable enough and you have the money, you'll purchase it. No matter what the price is, if you don't think it's valuable, you won't purchase it. Jesus thought you were that valuable. Jesus thought you were valuable enough. Not with silver and gold, that all of it belonged to him, but he knew that you were valuable enough for him to give his life to shed his blood for. Beloved, we need to so let the Holy Spirit speak that to our heart. You need to understand how valuable you are. Hello? How valuable are you? Meditate upon that this coming week. Lord, help me understand. Am I that valuable to you? Do you really care that much about me? As nobody else does. Most of my life I grow up hearing, who are you? You're nothing. You're nobody. You're worthless. You're not special. That's all of Satan's lies that he's told each and every one of us all of our life. You're not special. Beloved, believe the truth. You were redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with precious blood. You were redeemed by Jesus Christ, and he says, you are that valuable to me. Boy, that makes you sit up straight. Straighten up and believe the truth. Look over at your neighbor and say, do you know how valuable you are? You know, that the truth of that changed my life. And I began to realize how valuable people are to Jesus Christ. It has changed my life. To every person I meet, I've asked the Holy Spirit, when I walk up to him and whatever, remind me, Lord, of how valuable and special this person is to you. It'll change your life. You'll find yourself serving them, taking care of them, letting them slap you, treat you ill, whatever. They're valuable. And my position is to help them come to know how valuable and special they are. The world is full of silver and gold, precious stones, but the most valuable of all is you.